Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Good. Well, today I want to share a message under our theme of kingdom alignment called Living the Amen. Living the Amen. I love and I'm completely challenged by the thought and the truth that our lives are hidden in God. And they are really to be a living echo of his plans and his purposes for our lives. So that not only for us, but so that others who are reading our lives can see our God. Amen? You know, the incredible thing about living the echo of God's plans and purposes for our life is that the unique way that God has wired you, gifted you, talented you, set you on a path that is uniquely yours. The fact that no one else on the planet has seen the living demonstration of God's plan for your life. The living demonstration of what God's purposes are for your life. No one has seen that before. It is unique to you and your walk with God. Amen? You're called to live the life that God has for you by bringing the amen to his plans and purposes. Bringing the amen of heaven to earth. Amen? Amen. I'm going to need to hear from you today, okay? I know you're up for it. That's why I said it. I'm especially going to need to hear your amen. Your amen to God is one of the most kingdom-aligning declarations you can make. When you hear the living word of God, not only to say amen out loud, in fact, if you're not yet an amener, can I encourage you to become an amener? It's a league all of its own, yeah? Become an amener, not just to speak the amen, not to just declare the amen from your mouth, but to live the amen through your attitudes, through your responses, through your actions, and your obedience to God's word. Amen? Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 to 22 says, "For no matter, regardless of how many promises God has made, they are, yes, in Christ, and so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, he set his seal of ownership upon us, and he put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." Guaranteeing what is to come. You know, the writer of this passage says, doesn't matter how many promises of God there are. In fact, it pales into comparison compared to the fact that they are all a big yes in Christ Jesus. And through him, the amen, which simply means so be it, or may it come to pass. Or as Mary said in the Bible, she said it like this, "Let it be to me according to your word." I don't know about you, but I find it amazing that there are already approved promises of God for us through Christ. God is so good. The word of God doesn't change. What God has declared in his word and the promises he has for you and I today, they are unchangeable, they are unshakable, and they are already approved as a big yes for us in Christ Jesus. And all that God asks of us, this is the fine print, all that God asks of us is that we live a life of faith, bringing the amen to his word and his promises. You know, the promises of God are realized in our lives through our obedience and our alignment with God. Because when we here on earth speak the amen to that which God has already declared, already made known, that are ours in Christ, we bring heaven to earth and we receive the blessing of God for our lives. It's so good. Anyone excited this morning? I am. You know, Abram's story in the Old Testament was one of living the amen. It's not perfect, but then that's why it's so perfect for us, that it wasn't so perfect. So we're going to pick up part of his story from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Then we're going to jump over a few chapters to Genesis 15. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says, The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Someone say, I will show you. I will show you. Verse 2, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Chapter 15, he took him outside. This is God. God took Abram outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. God says three important things to Abram, which are actually clues for his life. God says, I will show you, I will make you, and I will bless you. I will show you, I will make you, I will bless you. And in response, the Bible tells us that Abram believed God. In fact, this Hebrew word, believe, is where the word amen that we just read in 2 Corinthians 1:20 is directly related. So I want to look at each of these three statements this morning as they relate to our lives and the way that God works in and through us. The first is, God says to Abram, I will show you. Anyone at school used to do show and tell? I think we all did. Show and tell was exciting because you never knew what was coming up. You never knew what your friends were going to bring to show and tell. It was exciting. And if you were bringing show and tell, if it was your day to bring show and tell, it was like this was the highlight of the day, show and tell, where you got to show something to others, something that you loved, something that you were passionate about, something you were excited for. Anyone else here get excited to see the new? We do. Anyone else like to be in on what's going to happen? Yes. By the way, have you seen the posters in the foyer about the new cafe space? We are excited for this. We love the nectar of heaven. So by next Sunday, yes, next Sunday, we will be able to show you. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Getting back to here, God has always been about showing and revealing who he is to us. Psalm 19 verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. But the greatest thing that he has ever shown us is through his demonstration of love to us on the cross. 1 John chapter 4 verse 9 and 10 says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. God has used everything, including his son, to show us, to show you and I that he exists, he is real, and he has a plan and a purpose for our lives. You know, we get excited when we hear the promises of God that he has for our life, but there's always the other part of that, which is our obedience to what he has said. You know, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, go from your people, from your father's household, to the land I will show you. God says, go to, I will show you. Friends, there must be a leaving for the showing to take place. There's always got to be a leaving for the showing to take place. You know, I love my garden. And this year we've been enjoying the fruits of my veggie patch, actually the veggies of my veggie patch. But I've found that whatever is growing, it doesn't matter what's growing, there are stages of growth that you can see in the showing. For instance, I planted some potatoes. They left the soil and they sprouted and they showed me where they were. Because before that, I would say to Anton, I've got some potatoes in here, somewhere around here. I didn't know exactly where they were going to be until they left the soil and they showed themselves. And so they sprout and they grow lots of foliage, like heaps of foliage. It's just all green. Then they flower. And at this stage of the showing, this tells me that there's not just one potato under there, but there's many. There are many potatoes. You can tell I'm excited about that because I love potatoes. After the flowering, the foliage starts to go yellow, which shows me that I can finally dig up my fresh new potatoes. If you've never had freshly dug potatoes with butter and salt and pepper. What can I say? We love carbs. Yeah? So in order for a harvest, there's got to be a continual leaving behind through the stages of growth for the showing to take place. And it's the same in our lives. I'm not saying that you're a potato. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that God has something prepared for Abram, and he wanted to show him. He wanted to show him a land, a territory, a place of influence. He wanted to show him a blessing. But in order for God to show him, Abram had to live a life of leaving. Live a life of leaving, not just physically moving from place to place, although he did that, but in the sense of internally growing and knowing God more. Verse 4 of chapter 12 says, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him." Directly after God says, "I will show you, I will make you, I will bless you," verse 4 comes in straight away. It says, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him." An important part of aligning our lives to God is found in the leaving. Leaving old habits and ways to show new ones. Leaving friendships that aren't good for you, that aren't aligning you with God behind so that you can show better fruit in your life. Leaving excuses behind. Anyone make excuses? You don't have to raise your hand, although I saw some hands. You're in great company. We need to leave excuses behind and own our stuff. What does it say? If you keep doing things the same way but expecting a different outcome. Yeah, it doesn't work. We need to leave behind some of the things we adopted even last year so that our lives will show the new, the fresh fruitfulness that God would have for us in this year. You know, when I was young, I used to travel a long distance to holiday in Sunshine, which is really funny now. Fancy spending your holidays in Sunshine, here in Sunshine. But some of you who are laughing, last year you lived, exercised and holidayed in Sunshine because you weren't allowed out of your house, yeah? But I remember when I would stay at my grandparents' place and I would be lying in bed at night and I would hear all the traffic driving past their house. I had never heard so many cars. And I used to lie there at night and I used to think, this place is so exciting. Where are all these people going? Where are they going? Like, what are they doing? They must be going somewhere amazing. There was something about adventure that was stirring even in me when I was a kid here. Well, fast forward to when I was 30 and I heard a pastor on a Christian TV program talking about your assignment in God. He said, it's not your decision, it's your discovery. And it's connected to a particular person and to a particular location. And when he said these words, I heard God showing me my land, which would be Sunshine, showing me that he had prepared something for me to discover. And all I had to do was respond by living the amen to what he had prepared. I didn't know all the details. I had no idea. You know, we were so small back then in our church. We were maybe 80 people. And when Pastor Shane brought the vision statement and he said to be a large strategic Christian church, well, large to me could have been 150. I had no idea the details of what God was going to help me discover. If I was to see what God wanted to show me, then I had to leave. I had to leave some things. I had to leave my job back then, and I had to step out in faith. Living the amen means bringing a response of obedience and a step of faith. It's always a walk of faith. If you could do this life that God has called you without faith, well, we wouldn't need God. But we need God. We want God, and we need to live by faith. We can't lay a hold of all the amazing, glorious things that he has for us without a life of faith. So the second thing that God speaks to Abraham is, I will make you. Genesis 12:2, he says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will make your name great. God is making you. You ain't finished yet. I'm not finished yet. And this would not be a good time to look at your neighbour. Just look straight ahead. God is not finished with us yet. He is still making us, and we are still a work in progress. We are a work in progress. First, God says to Abram, I will show you, which talks about a land, a territory, a place of influence, an area, a location. The second thing God says to Abram is, I will make you into a nation. A nation speaks of people, a fruitfulness of people that would come from his life, a fruitfulness that brings blessing to you so that you can be in turn a blessing to others. Amen? At the end of last year, I signed up for a pottery course. I'd never had really an interest in pottery before, but since we'd been locked up for most of the year, anything that was happening outside my house and the four walls was exciting. And so I signed up, and each week we would learn to use the potter's wheel to create different things every week. And through the teacher's instructions and my attempts at molding the clay into wonky, purposeful vessels, God spoke to me. God was speaking to me every week. And I could relate to everything we were learning from my walk with God as he is the potter and me as the wayward clay. I learned so many things about the making, about how God says, I will make you. I learned that if the clay isn't centered on the wheel, then the sides will be uneven, and when the pressure comes on the vessel, well, it's going to collapse. Centered clay produces a stable and strong base for the pot to grow. You can relate. Once you've got the clay centered, and that's no small feat, and the wheel is moving, the clay always wants to go out, never wants to go up. No, no, it always wants to go out. It can never go up without the hands of the potter always on the clay, pulling it up and shaping it. And then I learned it's such a messy process. My gosh, there is a mess during the making. It's not clean. There's clay, there's water, there's slurry. It's not pretty. The potter's hands are covered in slurry. Then there's the tension and the pressure and the frustration, mostly the frustration of me as the potter. I don't know how God does it with us. The frustration of me as the potter. But most of all, I loved realizing the fact that God as the potter, he didn't just make a way for us to receive the gift of salvation. He didn't just present it to us and say, here you go, I've done everything. Knock yourself out. He didn't just do that. But if we'll let him, he will come into our mess. He's not afraid of our mess. In fact, he has clay all over his hands. And his hands are always, always there on our lives, connecting on our lives, making something of noble purpose from our lives. You know, David says it like this in Psalm 40. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. And he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. You know, if we go back to the verse that we read at the very beginning, 2 Corinthians 1:21, it says, now it is God who makes both us and you, he's making us, to what? Stand firm. In Christ, for it is God who establishes us and help us to stand firm together. The goal of the making is, in fact, to stand firm. That's the goal of the making. Point number three, and the final thing that God says to Abram is, I will bless you. We like this part. I will bless you. 2 Corinthians, going back to that verse at the start, chapter 1:22, it says, he set his seal of ownership upon us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. You know, God doesn't expect you and I to lay hold of his promises in our own strength. We're not meant to. We're meant to do it in his enabling, under his and through his anointing. So he puts his seal of ownership upon us, just like a king would put a special seal on a royal letter. He puts his seal upon our lives, giving us the precious Holy Spirit, gives us everything we need through the Holy Spirit as a deposit, as a sign of the good things that he has got in store for us, of the promises to come. We can never live a life bringing the amen to all of God's promises without the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, God blesses Abram so much. He makes him a great nation. We call him Father Abraham. Why? Because we're connected in faith. And causes Abram to be a blessing to all the peoples on earth. I love that. God's purpose for Abram was so much bigger than anything he could imagine. And from the time that God spoke to Abram saying, I will show you, I will make you, I will bless you, to the time, just a few chapters on, where it records that Abram believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, well, it actually looks a bit like our lives would look. And I want to read this to you to let you know that you are in great company. I'm going to quickly run through this. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3 is God's promise. I will make you into a great nation. I will show you. I will bless you. Verse 5, Abram took Sarah and his nephew Lot, and he went to Canaan. Canaan, we know, is the land flowing with milk and honey, but it means to be brought down by a heavy load. It means trader. It means that which humbles and subdues. Verse 6, Abram passed through the land to the oak of Moreh. Moreh means teacher or instruction. So he's traveling through that which humbles and subdues. He's traveling through and he gets to the oak of Moreh, which is teacher and instruction. Verse 7, God promises again, to your offspring I will give this land, and Abram builds an altar. Verse 8, Abram pitched his tent between Bethel, house of God, and Ai, heap of ruins. Anyone relate? He's pitching his tent between house of God and heap of ruins. Yeah? Abram builds an altar there. Verse 9, Abram journeyed on, still going towards Negev. Negev is a dry land, it's a desert. Verse 10, there's a famine. So Abram goes down to Egypt. Egypt, taken from the Hebrew name Mizraim, which means to be shut in, to be restrained, to be in misery, to be in tribulation and distress. Genesis 13:1, Abram went up from shut in misery and distress of Egypt into the dry and desert Negev. Verse 3 and 4, he journeyed from the dry desert Negev, as far as the house of God, which was Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between house of God, Bethel, and Ai, heap of ruins. Anyone relate to this life story? This is only 11 years of his 175 years. It goes on. Then there's strife between Abram and Lot's herdsmen, so there's a separation and a resettling. Verse 12. Abram then settles back in Canaan, that which humbles and subdues, to be brought down by a heavy load. Verse 14 to 17, we find God's promise, where he says, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, north, south, east, and west. All the land you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth. Arise and walk out the length and the breadth of the land, for I will give it to you. Verse 18, Abram moved to settle by the oaks of Mamre. Mamre means strength and fatness, good times. Abram builds an altar. Verse 14, there's a battle. And so Abram leads 318 of his household to rescue his people. Chapter 15, verse 1 to 5, God's promise, I am your shield, Abram, your very great reward. And finally, we land in chapter 15, verse 6, where it says, Abram believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. God says, I will show you, I will make you, I will bless you. And Abram begins a walk of faith. He begins a life of living the amen to all that God has promised, despite his circumstances, despite the famine, despite the desert, despite all of the places of instruction and teaching and dryness and strife. And all the while, this is the fine print of the story of a life that's not unlike our own. Who can relate to Abram's story? I want to encourage you today, church. You are not alone. Not only are you in the company of heroes of faith like Abram, but just as God was with Abram, so God is with you today. And He is intent on carrying out His purposes for your life, on your unique journey of living the Amen. So be encouraged as you go from your Canaan to maybe your moray of teaching instruction to settling and living in the place between the house of God and a heap of ruins. Maybe times through Egypt where you're shut in and there's misery and there's tribulation, to enjoying the life in the oaks of Mamre, which is the strength and fatness. All the places in between. You know, saying yes to God and His purpose for our lives is going to require us to live the Amen. Not just talk it, not just speak it out, not only declare it over our life and our family and our marriage and our children and our business, but we need to live it. We need to live the Amen. You know, just like life is never as simple as 3 points, because it's not. How do you explain all that God is creating as He is working and moving in our lives? Because even in the showing He's making, even in the blessing He's making, even in the blessing He's making and showing, even in the showing He's blessing and all of that, He's making us in front of others. I used to hate that thought. I used to say to God, why? Why do you have to make me in public? In front of the people, why can't I just arrive, you know, put together? I've learned something. Even while He's making you, He's blessing you. He's showing you off. He's showing you off to others. He's saying, you know, what she's doing is not possible for her or him. I'm showing my glory because I'm not done yet. I've not finished my work in him or her. Just you wait till you see what I've been working on in them. I know you're going to be encouraged. I know you're going to give me praise. I know you're going to say, if he can do that for them, he can do it for me. Yeah? And all he asks of you and I is our amen to his promises. The promises of God are already yes. They're already yes for you. So let's be a people, enjoyers, who speak the amen, live the amen, and pass on the amen. Blessed to be a blessing to others. In closing, I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Him, to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You know, the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave. He showed a demonstration of His love, and He gave His one and only Son as a free gift to us. And all we need to do is open up our heart and invite Him to come in and live in our life, to be the Lord and Savior of our life. Jesus gave this gift of Himself in our place. We didn't have to die, but He stepped in and He took on our sins. He took on our shame. He took on all of our mess, all of our messy, slurry clay. And He gave us in exchange, the most beautiful exchange, freedom. Freedom. We can have freedom. You can have freedom today. And I want to give you the opportunity to invite Him into your heart. So all across this place, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just for privacy, for these next few moments, I want to ask you the most important question that you could ever be asked this morning is that, do you have Jesus at the center of your heart today? I want to ask you if you know Him, not if you know about Him, not if you know of Him, not if you know Him through your family. Do you have a personal relationship with God this morning? Because if you don't, I want to give you the opportunity. And I'm going to count to three. And all I would ask you to do is simply raise your hand. If you want to say, Louise, I want to give my life, include me in that prayer. I want to give my life to Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. When I see your hand, I'm going to say, God bless you. And you can put your hand down and then we're going to pray together. And if you're watching online and you want to give your heart to Jesus, why don't you write it in the chat? I want to give my heart to Jesus. Or if you're watching through our website, you can hit the raised hand and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. Friend, it is the most amazing decision that you could ever, ever make. So I'm going to count to three. Are you ready? If you don't have Jesus living in your heart, this is your moment, friend. Are you ready? One, two, three. Why don't you lift your hand today? I see that hand up the back. That's a great hand, champion. Anyone else this morning? Over there. That's a great hand. God bless you. You can put it down. Anyone else this morning? I'm just going to wait another minute. If you want to give your life to Jesus, don't put it off. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Now is your moment. Give your heart to Jesus. It will be the best. That's a great hand. Best decision, young man. You can put down your hand. Wonderful. And I see that hand over there in the back as well. Wonderful decision. Can we put our hands together for those people? That's a brave decision, but it's the best thing that you can ever do is give your heart, your life, your all to Jesus as He gave you all, His all for us. Why don't we pray? I'm going to ask you, if you raised your hand, why don't you pray this prayer with me? Church family, why don't you pray with me as well? Dear Jesus, I thank you for bringing me here today. I thank you, Lord, for laying down your life for me so that I could have life. I ask you, Lord, to come into my heart, to wipe away my sins and the mess, and to give me a clean slate through your blood. I thank you, Lord, that I am now a Christian. I thank you, Lord, that you are my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Come on, why don't you give it up for all of those people? All of heaven is rejoicing. All of heaven. Such an exciting thing. Well, thank you this morning. You know what? I don't want to leave before I pray for you. I want to pray for each one. If you want to live the life, the faith-filled life, bring in the amen, not just in your speech, but in the way that you live, in your responses, your actions. Maybe you need a bit of a faith boost today. I want to pray for you. So why don't you raise your hands if that's you, and we're going to pray. Lord, I just thank you for every hand lifted. I thank you, Lord, for every life that is represented, Lord God, this morning, saying, Lord, I need more of you. I need more of you. I need more faith, Lord God. I need more of you in my life. In order to bring the amen, Lord, I just thank you for every life. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us. Help us, Lord, to lay a hold of every promise that you have for us. I pray that we would not get to the end of our lives and leave so much on the shelf. But Lord, I pray that we will be a people of faith. We will be a people of tenacity. We would be a people full of your grace, full of your hope, full of your peace, laying a hold of every promise that you have for us. I pray, Lord God, that you would work, that you would make, that you would show, that you would bless, Lord, all the while we're in this time of being made, this messy time of being made by you. But it's such a glorious time because, Lord, I know that every hand represents a trophy of your grace, a vessel of noble purpose. And so, Lord God, we pray, bless each one now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.